One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, the Fiend coming out. You stick that big red light bulb on for the Fiend.
And his partner, Feta Tapendo Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rab Florence, sitting here opposite the one and only Grado himself.
All right.
You been busy this weekend, mate?
Yes, I was a busy schedule on the road. I wrestled at Clybank Town Hall on a Saturday afternoon, and then on Sunday night I wrestled at the Garage in Glasgow in front of the ICW Loyal Faithful.
The ICW Loyal?
Yes.
ICW CFC Supporters Club.
Not at all.
you were a hard-working professional wrestler this weekend.
I was, mate. And I worked with an injury on Sunday night.
Because
I hurt my head. I don't know if I get concussed, but I certainly tend a serious, because when I landed on the ground, I was seeing stars and I got heavy deja vu.
During the match?
Butlins, that's what I remember. See, as soon as I was...
Well, is that not because...
What do you call that?
Know. Is that not because you were wrestling Kid Fight, though? Because he does the camps, right?
That, mate, oh my God, I never thought about it like that.
The camps, not
aye. What do you call that? The double clothesline? Done that, and I kind of landed awkwardly in my head. Seen stars, deja vu.
That's basic. That's like basic, a basic bump, right?
Aye, and I can.
It just shows you. Just shows you. You need to be.
You need to be there, mate.
You need to fucking be.
You need to know.
You need to shake your rust off, you know. And you need to be, mate, on point, mate.
Oh, mate, that is absolutely spot on. Ring rust is a thing,
mm-hmm.
Mate. Because I mean, remember when we done the match at Kelvin Brawl?
Mm-hmm.
Was that? See how when we put the ring in the comedy unit? Now, for you don't know, the comedy unit is the production company for the likes of Scott Squad,
Burniston,
or that carry on, and we set up a ring. Was that your first time taking a bump, or had you previously went to SWA and done a couple of bumps?
I've taken bumps before that a few times. I've taken bumps back in the day at SWA training camp. I've taken bumps another time training with Big Barry, showed us some bumping.
Aye.
So
how did you like bumping?
I wouldn't say I liked it, mate. I wouldn't say I would.
Did you find it, sir?
I wouldn't say, like, last night I'll go into the kitchen and do some bumps.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not really my favourite.
On the kitchen flare.
What are you doing, Robert? What are you doing? Just doing some bumps.
Bumping in the flare. See, the thing is, I love bumping.
I love bumping?
Aye. See, that. Selling.
When you turn that corner and you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you, because you know, the first time you do a bump,
mm-hmm.
Everything's all landing all at the fucking all at different times, and you're like clatter.
Aye.
You go down, but see, the first time you do a proper nice snap, and it's nice, and it's a full connection, and it's a nice bump. It does feel quite satisfying, doesn't it?
The first person to show me to take a bump was Drew McIntyre,
right.
And he explained it. What you need to do is just bend down, right, and pretend there's a rug under your feet, and I'm going to pull the rug. And then when you pull the rug, you're going to take the bump, okay? And that's the way he kind of explained it. No, that was on gym mats in a post office in East Kilbride.
It's not like fondant. It's weird, isn't it? It's no like fondant.
Aye, it's no... If you get punched, you're not going to... You know what I mean?
Aye.
You're fucking... Sorry, mate, your signs. But it's unnatural, you know? But when things start clicking, it is a good feeling, you know. That is a good bump,
mm-hmm. So anyway, a good weekend of pro wrestling.
Shout out to the fans in ICW that were chatting Chipsies and Dollar Meat
they were championships.
Aye, mate, it's getting over. We need to implement this into our, you know what I mean?
We've got to do something with it.
Aye, we've got to do something with it.
We need to pull the trigger now.
It's dangling, dangling in front of us, man. We're just... We need to
and it's got to be good as well. It can't be a gobbledygook.
No,
thing.
Man, it's got to be serious.
It's got to be something good.
Aye, chip season done, mate.
Well, we've had a lot of correspondence for last episode, Grado, as is the norm.
I had a lot of fun last week.
Thanks to everybody that can get involved in our review Super Showdown in a GIF, or a GIF is actually how it's properly pronounced.
Is it a GIF?
It is a GIF. Right. Martin Brown. Now, this is in reference to, I'm assuming, Goldberg beating The Fiend, right? Martin Brown had Ross from Friends saying, "Why would you do that?" So I'm not listen. I'm not going to fucking read out people's gifts. I'm not doing that. I'm not reducing myself to. I am a trained entertainer, comedian. I can't believe I'm reading out. Dennis had Anakin Skywalker with a lightsaber ready to slaughter the younglings. Steve-O left it. Michael Steve-O left it with Goldberg looking pumped, saying the savior has returned. Now that's interesting. How do you feel? How are you feeling, Grado, about the whole Goldberg beating The Fiend?
Right. Well, I love Goldberg, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how. I'm in two minds with it. Does it kill his character?
Nah.
I don't think it does.
No.
I don't think it does. I think people are overreacting.
Goldberg squashed everybody.
Aye. Everybody, it's a squashing,
that,
mate.
Everybody that exists.
It's Goldberg a squashing.
Them. Aye.
It's a squashing.
For me, it's a simple equation. Who do I want to watch at WrestleMania? Roman Reigns versus The Fiend or Roman Reigns versus Goldberg? And there's no fucking doubt I want to see Roman Reigns versus Goldberg.
Oh, absolutely.
Why would I want to see Roman Reigns versus The Fiend?
Well, exactly.
And nae harm to Bray Wyatt.
Nae harm to him, big guy.
But
big fella.
I'm still waiting for that brilliant Bray Wyatt match.
Aye.
Still waiting.
Well,
I've... Still waiting for it, mate.
I like his entrance. I don't like that belt. I think they're getting carried away now with folk when they win titles and then they're in hangs with the belts.
Aye.
Just leave the belt alone, man.
I think.
You know what I mean?
Aye.
What is that? It's a Halloween prop.
I know, that's ridiculous.
Come on.
That's ridiculous. Speaking of Halloween props, and we'll get to this later probably, right. Big Eric Rowan's, the thing that was in his cage, do you know what it is?
What?
Oh, we'll get to it in a minute. Right, cool. Doesn't know what it is.
Did you watch all that Super Showdown?
Did I watch all of it? I did watch all of it.
What did you think of Taker and AJ Styles? Just the choke slam and that. Was it a choke slam?
That's fine. It was just a bit of daftness, wasn't it?
Aye, aye. What else was on it? Ricochet, mate. There was three squashes, wasn't there?
There was. Oh my god, I love the Ricochet match.
Oh, I thought
what?
It was.
I love the Ricochet.
No, that was definitely the best one.
Why?
I thought it was brilliant. I thought that was excellent.
Producer John reacting.
See, yesterday, man, I've watched Hunters of Brock Lesnar stuff recently. I think it's amazing. A lot of wrestling fans, Gareth, are not at it about how Lesnar just fucking mows through folk, but I love it. I think it's brilliant.
That's
it's real.
That's how it should be, fucking
mate.
Listen, here's what's beautiful about that Ricochet match.
I bet you.
Did you watch the build up? Did you watch the promo video they played before it?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's Ricochet going, "Why know me?
Aye.
Why could I know?" You know what I mean?
Aye.
And the beautiful thing was, you say, "Why know you? Because you're a wee fucking tiny wee baldy guy. You're a wee tiny wee guy that Brock Lesnar could fucking kill just by looking at."
There's no. I can assure you, I bet you they spoke about that match for about 10 seconds. Didn't he? He just went there, just feed for me, I'm going to knock fuck out you.
Aye.
And hit you in F5.
And Ricochet would have been like...
Shiting himself all day.
He'll have been shiting himself all day, but he'll also have been delighted and happy to do it. Because
aye.
That's, you know, you wrestling isn't just about... This is the fucking problem, I think, with people out there. But I think people out there think that all wrestlers want to do is go out and make themselves fucking look good. That wrestling has to be a total, everybody has to come out looking good and all that. And it doesn't harm Ricochet one bit to get a doing off of Brock Lesnar.
No.
No fucking one bit. But this is the problem. The problem is, this is why you end up with all these people up near the top of the fucking curb that shouldn't be there. If Ricochet beats Brock Lesnar, right, or even puts up a good fight against Brock Lesnar, then you can make the argument that the Ricochet should be in the world title picture, and he fucking shouldn't. He's a fucking mid-curbed, like a fantastic fucking performer, a brilliant wrestler, but
he's some athlete, man.
You don't want to have these guys. That's not what wrestling's about.
Aye.
Wrestling's meant to be it's the three ring circus in it. It's the fucking whole picture across the whole.
See that Lesnar and Ricochet match, for me that's wrestling. I got a buzz out that.
Well, what makes it even more exciting? I'm not taking up loads of time here talking about Ricochet, but my wee lassie loves Ricochet, right? And we were watching Super Showdown together, right? She's 13 years old, and I says, Brock Lesnar's going to kill Ricochet here, right? Mm-hmm. I says to her, and she says, I bet you he does, doesn't he? I says, I bet you he does. I says, I bet you £2.
Right.
And she went and actually gave me the fuck. She says, there's the £2, right? And watched the match. And I was thinking to myself, they're going to let him get a couple of wee hangs in, a wee flip, a wee kind of surprise and hang me. And I've never been more satisfied watching the rest of the match. Seeing Hope's face, man, seeing Ricochet getting absolutely fucking destroyed, man. It was fucking magic. But, you know, that had maybe an impact on her, I think, for a kind of, oh my God, wrestling's unreal point of view than if she'd seen them both get a wee bit in.
A bit of back and forth.
Yeah,
whereas that was maybe a moment.
She's like, oh my God, that guy is a monster. And she hates Lesnar.
Aye, I can understand why
she hates Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean?
Aye. No, but what would you do then if Lesnar came out and fucking scalped Drew in 30 seconds? Would you be unhappy then?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah, it's not going to happen, no.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Drew's going to beat Lesnar. Right, thanks to Fraser, by the way, who's come up with a new gimmick idea off the back of the Marks. As they were coming up with new gimmicks, that's the other show that is under the Wrestling Daft.
Oh, right.
He reckons a game show host gimmick hasn't been done before. It could be some sort of Les Dennis-style character who could cut promos like, we asked 100 people if they thought I could kick your head in. Our survey says... yep. We asked 100 people if they thought Ricochet could fight Brock Lesnar in a competitive bout. Friend of the show, Rudo Lightning, has been in touch after we claimed last week that Montez Ford was actually married to Gail Platt in Coronation Street. He says it's actually Gail Rodwell now.
What? She's not called Gail
Rodwell, like Dennis Rodwell, the basketball player?
Aye, WCW guy.
Imagine he was in Coronation Street, Dennis Rodman, man. That'd be fucking brilliant.
Aye.
Married Michael Rodwell, played by Les Dennis. Les Dennis again, what's fucking going on?
Yeah, hold on, man. Did you see fucking Barrymore on the telly this morning? I missed it, but...
Was he a nick?
Apparently, man.
Was he slurring
feel bad,
his
man.
Words?
Aye. He was saying, he was basically going, my fans and me mates. And they know I'm not a wronging. They know I'm not a wronging. I thought, oh no, man, you shouldn't have been put on Parky. That's his real name, Michael Parker. Obviously, because I used to be close to Michael Barrymore on Twitter.
You used to be close to Michael Barrymore on Twitter. What the fuck does that mean?
You get right to a pool party.
Oh, hold on, I don't want to fuck you.
Fuck, John, that
keep
is out, just...
Keep out for the fucking Marks podcast.
Aye, man. Get that disrespectful. Come on, that was... You've disgusted me there.
How are you closely chatting and all that?
Well,
DMing each other?
DMing each other. It's funny because Sha was talking about it earlier on. I followed him on Twitter. He followed me back. I sent him a message going, look, I used to love you back in the day, man. I watch all your stuff on you, all your stuff on YouTube, all your old videos on YouTube.
Like
and stuff
makeup
like that.
Tutorials, not on YouTube.
Unboxing videos. We go back anymore. And man, fucking, he gave me a lot of advice and all that, and we were sharing sausage casserole recipes.
Is that code? Is that some kind of code?
I swear to God, but what he did say was, see halfway through the sausage casserole chat, he went, can you just confirm your age?
What?
That's what he says, mate. Aye.
Oh my God. But that's creepy, right?
I thought it was kind of weird that he asked me that.
Can you just confirm your age?
I know, mate. But obviously we were kind of close back and forth DMing each other, but he stopped replying to them now, man. So I kind of gutted, because when his documentary came out, I kind of sent him a wee message and that, but he dinged me. Oofed.
He's had a hard life. Thanks to Neil, who, following on for Lewis Capaldi, has included us in a tweet encouraging Drew to take a bottle of tonic to the ring at WrestleMania. But no way he's going to do that. He's giving me a class about him. Who's Drew wrestling at WrestleMania again?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, that's right.
Right.
My code name is Dez. Would like to put over Grado for his brilliant impression of Walter from Burniston when discussing Drake's wrestling belts. Right, let's hear the clip. What I don't think it was that good.
It's not even the Ultra Deluxe Man's anyway.
That's brilliant. Anyway.
And Barry asks, Grado, with your underlying health issues due to your father, now that coronavirus has arrived in Scotland, are you worried about the coronavirus? Now we're in an area I want to talk about. Here we go.
Hashtag pray for Grado. I've used that a few times when I've been in bother. But
well, seeing the wrestling game, you're in close proximity all the time.
I know.
You don't wash your hands.
I touch my beak all the time. I'm always touching my beak and my balls and all that. If coronavirus comes to Stevenson or whatever, I'm fucked.
You are too strong to be killed by coronavirus anyway. Now, how good a gimmick would it be for a fucking wrestler just for this next 3-4 months or whatever to say, I've got coronavirus, but I'm still coming to work. I can't afford not to work.
Aye.
So they're coming, they've got their mask on and all that, and their hangman guys are feared to fucking lock up with them and all that.
That's good, isn't it?
Aye, coronavirus.
I know Mark Dallas listens to this show and is just picking up all his fucking ideas I'm hitting out with here. So anyway, if any of yous want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast, and just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we like to separate the Lucha Brothers from the Lucha House Parties.
It's a easy joke. That's brilliant.
As we talk about the good and the bad of pro wrestling on Bury and Put Over, who you want to bury or put over this time, Grudo, this week?
Who do I want to bury? Oh Christ!
You don't need to bury anybody, by the way.
Nah, I'm brand new. Everybody this week.
Who do you want to put over then?
Lesnar, Brock Lesnar. No, that's shite, innit?
No, it's no. You fucking do what you want.
Aye, right, Lesnar, man. I watched his match with CM Punk for SummerSlam 2013 last night when I was sitting with my wee chicken dinner, and it was, I loved it.
I want to put over Chris Jericho's entrance
with the singers.
Aye,
that was brilliant.
That was magic.
How was that pay per view?
It was good.
Aye,
it was good. Aye.
Don't tell me the results of the main event, but okay. Was it good?
It was good.
Right.
I mean, you're going to probably find out the results in a minute. Sorry to say. You need to leave the room. You need to leave the room. But I want to put over that, and I also want to put over, does it count as this week? I want to put over Lesnar, Hammer and Ricochet. And do I want to bury anything? Here's what I want to bury. It looked to me a wee bit, and I might be wrong, maybe it's just because he was fucking knackered, which is also possible as well, but it looked a wee bit to me like Bray Wyatt sandbagged Brock Lesnar into that fucking... sandbagged Goldberg into that jackhammer.
I noticed that.
It looked like he fucking sandbagged him. Do you not think so?
I thought that as well.
And I don't want to be one of these guys on Twitter. It's like, he fucking sandbagged him there. But I looked at it a few times, I thought, right, he's putting nothing into this.
Yep. How'd I go about this? Because I'm in group chats with this guy, but he might have
blown out his arse and fucking knackered.
I know for a fact that Bray Wyatt didn't like Goldberg beating Lesnar a couple of years ago. Right. See when he ran through him, I know that for a fact. I can't tell you, man. I can't reveal my source.
Exclusive. It's an exclusive. It's a wrestling draft exclusive.
Put it this way, it wasn't a happy bunny.
It looked to me like a sandbag, and I don't know, I'm not a pro wrestler. I would need, you know, more experienced eyes to look at that and let me know what you think. So if there's any of the boys out there, let us know what you think. Does it look like Wyatt was sandbagging him a wee bit there?
Because go with 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Sean Sean wants to bury the booking of the Fiend. No consistency, kicks out for everything at Hell in a Cell, but loses to a few spears and a sandbag. And a sandbag, Jack Hammer, the fucking boy says!
Well, do you see how you're talking about the sandbag? I actually wondered as well, the kick out at Wan as well, before, because did he no kick out the spear and the... But he kicked at Wan, and I just, the way Goldberg reacted, I went, was he meant to do that?
Interesting.
This is serious stuff, you
know. Now, this person, Sean, is saying about, you know, the booking of the Fiend, no consistency. Consistency doesn't come into it. The simple fact of the matter is Goldberg is a fucking star attraction, right? And the wrestling game is all about star attractions. And until somebody can prove to me that there isn't a wide interest in fucking Goldberg, then nobody can complain about Goldberg getting put over the Fiend. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just kind of believe that he's even back wrestling, man. When I was talking to him in Las Vegas, October the 3rd, 2013, outside the Encore Hotel, I couldn't believe. I didn't think he'd ever come back to wrestling, man.
Was he telling you about his career and that?
He said that Vince McMahon was a dickhead.
Did he?
Aye, and I says he.
A wrestling draft exclusive.
You know how you're put under pressure to ask questions? I went, do you think you'll ever go on the Steve Austin podcast? That's what I asked him.
Did you?
He went, no. And that was it. And then I went, I'm a wrestler too. Because I'm a wrestler too. Standing there, man, my fucking swim shorts, man, my tits out and all that. I'm a wrestler too. What was it? I went and he said, "Stay safe, brother." That's what he shoot me on. Went, "Stay safe, brother."
That's nice, isn't it?
It was good, man.
He seems like a big nice guy, didn't he?
He was brand new. He was playing cards with his old gran.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He was.
Sean wants to put over AEW Revolution. Enjoyed every match on the Caird Tag Champ match with some excellent wrestling. Westy wants to bury Rowan on Raw for that spider hang. It looked like a lobster dressed in spider clays. Aye, so Rowan inside his cage had a big spider.
Oh.
That went like that.
Why? What's
his
that?
His legs moved.
What does he do? What does he do? Launch it off, cunt, or whatever?
No, he just looks at it. Just looks at it. Westy wants to bury Cody's big shitery a neck tattoo.
Right, I need to see this, mate. Can we? I want to see it.
He's a very handsome
guy. Oh my god, look at that.
It looks great.
Holy shit.
So it's a bold move.
That, I don't know about that, mate. That's a fucking rascal and a half, is it? No,
it's a bold move getting that tattoo.
What is that, a skull and American flag? What is that?
It's the American Nightmare kind of brand, right, logo kind of thing.
Oh my god. But I, you know, tattoos, mate. I'll get used to it.
Tattoos are very personal things, I think, and I don't think people really should be criticising them. That's my woke take on that.
That is very woke, mate.
I don't think people should be criticising them. However, Brian wants to put over AEW Revolution. You know you enjoyed a show when your only complaint was a tattoo being out of place by a few inches, and he wants to bury the tattoo. Self-love is important in that, but if you're going to tattoo your own logo based on your face, don't have it be necking yourself to boot.
Mate, the only issue I've got with that pay-per-view is in Revolution. They didn't really fucking...
It's not very original.
You know what I mean? You think for this new company, woke, very woke, AEW, aren't they? They are very woke.
Very woke,
You know, you think you'd have a better pay-per-view name, wouldn't they?
I know, AEW Revolution's crap name.
Isn't it?
Stephen McNeil wants to bury John Cena talking shite about how younger guys deserve the Mania chance and seeming like an all-round good guy, and oh, there's the Fiend. Okay, I'll just be a heel and steal someone else's spot. Fucking shut up, Stephen McNeil, man.
Man, what the fuck's up before?
What the fuck
take
is going
off, man?
John Cena, his promo was really good and he's right about fucking... You'll notice that John Cena hasn't actually been popping up and taking anybody's spot. And anyway, nobody's good enough to have the fucking spot that John Cena will have.
Exactly.
On fucking WrestleMania. Who you want in that fucking spot?
Correct.
Who do you want in the spot for fucking Stephen McNeil?
Ricochet.
Fucking Ricochet? You want fucking Ricochet in there? Do you want for who else is there? Who else do they all fucking like at the minute? You want fucking Aleister Black in there? Sitting there like a fucking cunt sitting outside the fucking Museum of Modern Art with all his fucking goth pals. Goth pals fucking dead! It's ancient! Aleister Black, you're a fucking bore! You want to be in fucking WrestleMania and see the John Cena? Aleister fucking Black!
Holy fuck. I've got my popcorn. I love
it. Fraser Smith wants to put over Randy Orton for confirming why he attacked Edge. Being deluded about your concern is a great heel trait. And he wants to bury the fans popping whenever he does the RKO. It's going to end his heel run sooner than it should. There's nothing.
What's wrong with folk this week? What's wrong with folk? The fans popping when he does the RKO. It's going to end his heel run. What the fuck?
He's not got any.
Turn him face or pop him for his move.
No, it's ridiculous. Goshie wants to put his cell over for being a Patreon gimp and bury his cell also for being a Patreon gimp. Hey, Goshie, you're one of the cool
guys. This guy.
Do you remember in Only Fools and Horses when Rodney went on holiday with Del Boy and that, but he had a kid's ticket, so he had to hang about with the Groovy Gang? Oh, it was like a kid's, that's what you are, mate. You're in the Groovy Gang now. Scott M wants to bury the toy spider that Rowan had. Weeks of build for that. Nobody cared. Why are people getting wound up about these wee things? It's a wee story on a wee spot in the Caird, so it turned out to be a wee spider. Who gives?
You're going in 3 weeks' time, we'll forget it ever even occurred.
Put over Randy Orton at his best when he's a heel, and the programme with Edge is the best thing in wrestling. And now Randy Orton is really having a nice spell.
I love Randy Orton.
But Randy Orton's
man.
Always been good.
He's the always man. Good. He's the man.
Always good.
Big, handsome son of a gun.
Looks great.
Looks great.
Jonathan Cheatham wants to bury that monstrosity a neck tattoo on Cody. If he was pure covered in tattoos, it might have worked, but when you have your bare fucking torso on display every show, it sticks out like an attention-seeking midlife crisis move. That's brutal, isn't it?
Mate, I just wonder, I just like when he's got it done and all that, and he's pure showing it after the boys backstage. No, what are you done, mate?
But it's very personal.
You've got an issue with us, haven't you? You're quite.
I've got a wee bit of an issue with. I've got a wee bit of an issue with that tattoo, the kind of reaction to the tattoo. I don't think it's...
Because that's no fair. Like, no. So basically you feel sorry for him if he's looking on Twitter and every cunt's ripping him for his tattoo.
This guy has decided that this is part of his look now. That, not just that it's part of his look, because it isn't something he can remove easily, but this guy has decided it's part of his, you know, this is who Cody Rhodes is. So I don't think it's very... I think it's very cool, people, you know, moaning about it.
Slagging them and all that.
You could be like, I wouldn't have done that, but you know he's fucking Maw. Everybody's acting like the Cody Rhodes is fucking Mammy, you know what I mean?
It's just, you know what I mean, in any other business, you know, if that was a pop star getting it, you know, folk would just, oh, he's got a tattoo. But I think in wrestling, folk have got to go over the top, haven't they?
Aye. Was it like me? I went over the top when I was talking about Alistair Blackgill.
Oh, that was good,
but I was just working.
I was a pro man, and
I'm always working, mate. Always working.
Yeah.
No, all right. Wrestling Daft merch, mate. Will we tell them about the merch?
Aye, Baron.
You can go Wrestling Daft with your very own t-shirt. Get them at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk. Wrestling Daft, and all the designs include catchphrases from the show, the hit catchphrases such as "I'm a mark." I'ma take the bump.
Oh, you got ready? Are you got ready saying that?
Of course I have. Chips, cheese and doner meat, and of course Margaret is the fiend. And right now you can get free shipping right up until Sunday on all our merch. So be like Stephen Blair, who goes straight into the Hall of Fame as he sent a picture of him in his chips, cheese and doner meat t-shirt while in the gym. And check out our range of t-shirts and hoodies at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at wrestlingdaft. And these are so exclusive that me and Gredo haven't even had any free t-shirts
either.
They're so exclusive that we've not even had any.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just made the list!
Right, so this week on our Patreon, we asked for you guys to vote on a list of Wrestling Daft. Remember, you can vote by signing up for $4 a month. $4 a month, what? £4? Is it £4 or
$4? It's $4.
Right, okay, $4. $4 a month at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Now, this week, we ask you to vote between booking decisions that most upset you after the back of this Goldberg winning the title. And my choice was the best debuts in wrestling.
Yep.
So the votes are in.
Let's do a drum roll. I'll do a drum roll for you.
With 76% of the vote, you went for the best wrestling debuts.
Yes, man. Woo-hoo. That's a good one.
Debuts well are always good, man, aren't they?
Well picked.
I like a good debut. So debuts, it's a thing that I find myself typing into YouTube now and again. You know, somebody's debut. I like watching debuts. It's cool, isn't it?
Yep.
So basically, for my number three, wrestling debut. Why I liked this was because I've got a very vivid memory of it, because I just remember being a wee boy, 12, 13, and... Are you laughing at it? You on it? You put me off.
Sorry. It's just a nice story, mate. I'm just...
Right, hold on, take us back.
What year is this?
So hold on, man. It's 2001, right?
Okay.
No, I had been watching... Booker T. Oh, fuck, I fucked it. Just saying Booker T.
Right, but who does this involve? Right.
Oh, but I remember watching WCW and going, that's my guy, Booker T. Booker T was my guy, my WCW guy. I loved him. Mm-hmm. Because he done the rock bottom and all that. Right. Right, and I liked his catchphrase, "Don't hate the player, hate the game." I still don't get that catchphrase. Anyway, and I liked his music. And so I remember.
Sing his music.
Does that, doesn't it?
That the high bit.
And this one, I remember King of the Ring. Now, this was during Steve Austin versus, who was he wrestling, Benoit? I think it was Benoit, aye. And just out the blue, here he comes, the big man, Booker T. Gallus, is that Louis Vuitton that shirt? Who knows?
Out the crowd.
Out the crowd, mate. Jumps a barrier. There's Booker T, the WCW champion. It's 5 bells in the morning. I've got school in a couple of hours' time, right? My mom's coming down to chase me to my bed because I'm watching wrestling. I should be in my bed. And I just remember going, Mum, that's Booker T. He's for WCW. He's for WCW. And Austin goes to throw for something. He catches him and fucking side suplexes him into the commentator's table. And that was your Booker T debut. That was an awful long way for a shortcut, wasn't it?
No, but I mean, it was an interesting time. And of course, that led up to the fantastic supermarket, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, how price
check
was that?
Price checking a jackass, that.
Yeah, that was good. Aye, so that was, I loved that just because it was a WCW champion coming on WWF. So that's my number three. Right, number two.
Number two.
Is Chris Jericho's debut on Raw. Countdown.
Aye.
The promo we done with The Rock, it was just, it was something else.
Even though The Rock kind of undercut it a wee bit.
But do you think he tried to?
Nah,
was,
I mean,
he having it?
He didn't. I mean, it was all, I think it was all brilliant, but some people moan like, oh, he made his debut and then The Rock right away was kind of like poking fun at him. You know what I mean? But I don't, but it doesn't bother me. But Peter, I've heard people say it.
Aye. Well, that's that.
It was an exciting debut, wasn't it?
Oh, mate. Just because, obviously, the best bit about that is, right, is when it all goes quiet, right? Uh-huh. And then it goes chicka 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 chicka, and then it just goes Jericho,
yeah,
on the Tron, and that pop, wah! It's something else. What I love about it as well is if you read Jericho's book, I'm sure that's when he stops his book, he ends his first book.
So he
writes all the way up to 1098, and that's how his book ends, his first book. You're like, ah, man, that's class. Can't wait to the second book. Do you know what I mean?
The beautiful thing about Jericho.
See, this is what I like, because you can do all this.
What?
The beautiful thing about this is.
The beautiful thing.
I can't find fuck all beautiful about this.
You can, mate. The beautiful thing about Jericho's debut is that I think quite a lot of time nowadays when they are kind of counting down a type debut for a person where you're anticipating it, what they would do nowadays, I think. And if you do it wrong, this is what you do. It goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then a video starts, and then you're still waiting to see who it is. You're still, who is it going to be? Hangman, who's coming out? Who's coming out? Oh, Hangman. Whereas that did just what you said there, that beautiful thing of going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Giant Jericho. Word, Jericho.
Aye.
You know what I mean?
It was a buzz.
So you get that fucking release on a fucking whanner. You know what I mean?
I know, and it was just... Because I think everybody knew it was going to be Jericho.
Everybody kind of thought it was going to be Jericho.
Aye, it was never ever.
But you weren't sure.
No.
What's your number one?
Taz at the Garden. Royal Rumble 2000.
So what I want you to do is remember your three eyes. Come on out here and give it your all.
Three eyes, JR.
Section of Brooklyn, weighing 248 pounds.
It's Taz! And Taz, not wasting any time!
No, the reason why I like this is because I was getting right into my...
Look at this picture here, by the way.
I think I go,
look at that, man! Only patrons will be able to see this picture. We're looking at right now, but look at this
Look at that leotard, man. The thing is, I got an ECW video for my Christmas. It would have been Christmas 1999. So I was heavy into my Taz and all that and ECW, and I don't even think I had internet then either. I maybe read Owen Power Slam that there was rumours that Taz was going to the WWF, and just the lights go out, just that New York crowd, something else, you know.
What a physique he's got on there, by the way.
Who, Taz?
Just solid. solid kill you kind of physique.
I mean, Taz should have had a better run.
He should have had a better run
before he put the cans on. You know what I mean?
The problem is he's short.
Aye.
You know, which at that time it never.
New, he'd be brand new.
Yeah, he'd be fine now.
He'd be brand new, he'd be the champ.
Aye, people would want him beating Lesnar on that now.
Okay.
But he comes, he's fighting Angle, obviously, in his first match, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to just put a shout in terms of best debuts for Kurt Angle, for his debut. Because his was a debut that could have easily went wrong, because he came in, the crowd just weren't having it. Or fucking booing him.
Sean Stasiak, wasn't it?
He rolls out. I think so it might have been.
I was trying to say that.
He rolls out, grabs the mic, takes the mic, starts fucking promoing on the crowd.
How confident?
It was just like a guy like, I am going to make it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just that attitude, I'm going to make it. I'm just, whatever I need to do, I'm going to make it. That's a beautiful debut. In the back, they must have been like, oh, we were fucking right about this guy.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The minute that happened. I kind of feel as well that the equivalent is Ronda Rousey coming in and how good she was right away.
Mate, that match at WrestleMania, that was superb. Mm-hmm. I watched that in Roman Reigns' hotel room.
What?
Right. Sean Daivari ended up getting... I was hanging about with Daivari and he ended up getting... For some reason, he got Roman Reigns' hotel room, but he wasn't using it.
Oh, so they'd set him up with a room.
And there was fucking hundreds of beers and all that, and salads and chocolate and all that shit. So I watched it.
And salad and chocolate. That's exactly what I thought Roman Reigns was into.
Beer and salad.
Right.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
So here's what the punters had to say, Gredo. Kevin Brown says Colt Cabana at Revolution. Might not seem as big a deal as AJ Styles or Scott Hall making debuts in the past, but it's good to see him getting a chance at the big time again.
AJ Styles is a good debut, isn't it?
Aye. Dylan says it's got to be Kane. Kane's a good debut.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
The Fiend was incredible too. The song, the lantern, the what the fucking hell is going on, mark out in the crowd. It was incredible. It was all right. Alan Campbell, it's got to be Jericho. Whole countdown clock of the weeks leading up to his arrival was amazing. Our patron, one of our lovely patrons here, Connor Jordan, Kane's debut in 1997. There's Kane again when he ripped the cage door off and went toe-to-toe with the Taker. I mean, that's how you want to come in, isn't it?
Aye.
Right at the top. Sean Conlon says Kevin Owens' debut on Raw.
Oh, that was cool, wasn't it?
That was a good one.
Was that we seen him, isn't it?
Comes out with the NXT title and stones on the US belt. Ultimate heel debut. You love it. I love a heel debut. Mick McFarlane, the Big Show's WWF debut. Was that at St. Valentine's Day Massacre? Massacre,
aye. That's when he launched Austin into cage, innit?
Aye. Austin won.
That's Paul White. He's a hot free agent.
Yeah,
always say that, didn't they, with debuts? Yeah. My God, that's the hottest free agent, innit? It's always the hottest free agent, innit? It's the same pattern all the time.
Graham Curry, cliched as fuck, but I just kind of see past Jericho's first night in Raw. Jericho's winning this. Our patron Bobby Carmichael, love you Bobby.
I love that name.
Lord Tensai's debut on Raw against Alex Riley. <Rowley. laughs> The crowd were quick to realise it was just Prince Albert with a shaved back, face paint, and pierced nipples.
It's just Prince Albert with a shaved back.
Chris McFly.
That's fucking brilliant.
Chris McFly says Kurt Angle making his TNA debut was a good one.
That was good. That was. So was it?
Do you know anything about TNA? Can you remember this?
Sure, he broke on internet or something like that on the Wednesday that he was going to TNA, and I think did he show up at the pay-per-view or was it just Impact and him and Samoa Joe butty teeds?
I remember that.
Aye. Christian Cage had a good TNA debut or not, because he kind of jumped ship, didn't he?
Aye. He did TNA.
Aye, they're alright.
Sparko says Taz at Royal Rumble 2000 chokes out Kurt Angle, gave him his first loss. We just talked about it there. We went mental for it at school the next day. It could have been class, but WWF shat it and just pied him after the hardcore belt. By the time it was WrestleMania 2000, he was already dead and buried. Taz is now finished. Taz is now living in a trailer park.
See, just gone.
Taz is doing alright, isn't he? What's he up to now, Taz?
He's EW commentator.
Why have I not realised that?
Aye, you haven't.
He's on now and again.
Right.
I always just think it was funny. Where, like, you know how somebody would debut in TNA with their, like pure, know their WWF name, but some way around it, you know what I mean? Was Kishi. Or something, you know what I mean? Or Fatu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Aye.
Like, it was Tess, what was he called? Exam or something?
Aldo Tash wants to say Ronda's debut at Royal Rumble 2018 was class. Yes, indeed it was. Stephen Ray, Scott Hall's debut in WCW in 1996, of course. Calzo, Undertaker with Brother Love and Piper on commentary shouting, look at the size of that ham hock. Never forget it. Sandy says Sting at Survivor Series 2014 was completely out of nowhere. Oh, massive pop right. for him. Aye, and was brilliant to finally see him in WWE. It's just, you feel like Sting just didn't have the match that you wanted him to have really after he came in, didn't you know?
I know, mate. He should have wrestled Taker, man.
Should have just wrestled Taker. Mark McBride says Santino Marella.
Oh, aye, in Milan.
Thought it was real.
I bought that. Aye, I see who's coming with that. Mm-hmm. I bought that.
And John Montgomery, surely somebody has to mention the long anticipated arrival of the gobbledygooker out of the Egg at Survivor Series. Feeling that has to be Taker. I remember watching that in my first pay-per-view. Had already seen him in WCW and tried to tell my mum and dad that it was Mean Mark. LOL, your mum and dad must have been like, fucking shut up. How about your debuts, mate?
My ICW debut, I loved that. Jumping the barrier, that was class.
What was your TNA debut?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember. Well, I was on a six man, but it wasn't on Impact. My first time on Impact, well, I'd say my debut on Impact, it was for fucking, it was an X Division tournament match. It was me, Loki, and Kenny King.
Is Loki,
and
is
I
Loki,
seriously thought I was going to win the belt the night before. I went, I think they might do this for a laugh.
Is Loki bad news?
Well, so I went backstage, right, during the day, I'm shitting myself, I'm wrestling Loki, right? Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have looked the road I was on, right? And if he did catch eyes with me, he was growling at me, right? I'm shitting myself, right? And so I tried to put him over, man, at the catering, but I went, hey, big fan, man. I see you. Love your match with Xavier at the Elks Lodge in 2001.
Right.
And yeah, again, he just growled at me. And then again, I went up to him to try and come up with, because it was a live episode of Impact that night, mm-hmm. right? And at one point, he fucking basically told me, I can beat you in the ring, or I'll beat you outside the ring. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's fucking going to kill me the night, man. So, mate, I turned my phone, and we're doing pre-tapes through the day, so I was in my leotard, mate. I went to the bog, man. I was looking at flights home. I wanted to get home. I was really? Like, he's going to fucking kill me, man. An hour to go, Impact, still no come up with what we're going to do.
Yep.
Still no done it. It took Hurricane Helms to fucking go like that. He was the agent. He was like, look, this guy's actually all right. You know, you're looking at him, he's out of shape and all that, but he's got a gimmick and, you know, he can do his wee bit. So fucking low-key talked him round. And I swear to God, 15 minutes before we were going to Impact, I think we were the second match, we come up with a fight because it was an elimination. And I was to get eliminated within like the first 2 minutes. I says, look, I'll come in. Dusty's, you can cut me off and give me your stomp or something like that. And I come away with some kind of funny spot, and he agreed that's good, we'll do that. And we done the match, and he came back and he shoot my horn, and I was all right. But fuck, I was so scared that day, mate. So scared that day. So scared. It was horrible, man. It was horrible.
Was it partly because you knew he had about your reputation as well?
Aye. Just, it was horrible and fucking, although. Folk were going like that, I'll give you $50 if you fucking bust his nose. That's what they were doing. There wasn't just one wrestler that said that. There was a few of them that went, fucking bust his nose and we'll give you a fucking chip in.
So he wasn't a popular guy in the back either?
Oh, he takes it very serious. Mm-hmm. Takes it very, very, very serious. It's a good story, isn't it?
I take it serious as well, mate. You better have a better fucking ending to this story.
Well,
no, that is interesting though.
I was looking at booking flights home, man. One day I'll eventually tell the story, but I ended up in wrestler's court the next day. I don't feel comfortable telling the full story on a podcast, but basically I was supposed to, because Hurricane Helms basically saved me for getting my arse kicked. Mm-hmm. Hurricane Helms says, right, buy everybody a drink at the bar. Something happened, I never managed to buy the wrestlers a drink, right? So the next day I was at wrestler's court. Kurt Angle was the judge. Tommy Dreamer's the bailiff. Al Snow's the defence. what do you call Big Tyrus? What was his name? Brodus Clay. He was something. That was intimidating because they go the full. Look, they go everybody that wasn't a wrestler to
clear it
in the impact zone, and it was just the wrestlers, and they take it well serious, right? But it was deep down inside, I was fucking marking it like fuck, you know what I mean? Kurt Angle sitting, you know, fucking judge kidneys and judging all that, right? But they told me, you know, make sure you've got bevy. Right, uh-huh. for everybody to the end, because at the end we'll have a laugh about it, but fucking forgetting that Kurt was a recovering alcoholic, man. I bought my bottle of Jack Daniels.
Fuck's sake.
But anyway,
how much did that skin you?
$120. I bought 5 bottles of Jack D for right. folk. So it was like one for Tommy Dreamer, one for Brodus Clay, everybody was up at. But Spud was my attorney, right? And right. he fucking fell flat in his ass, man. Al Snow had this big prosecution. It was brilliant. He was dead funny. And Spud gets up and goes, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client is fat." Fucking crickets, man. Crickets. Everybody's like, so I get found guilty. And my punishment was I had to day my entrance to Madonna and my breeks in the back zone. So fucking climbed the barrier, was back up. Life is a me. I come out with my fucking breeks. All the boys are fucking packed ringside, fucking going on like punters, putting their horns out. I fucking go like that. Going, hey! fucking Bubba Ray's putting his horn out. I'm fucking cutting his horn and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that made me, that fucking goat man with the boys. You know
beautiful,
what I mean?
Mate.
That goat man with the boys, after that was me kind of accepted.
That's a brilliant story. Why did you not tell a story in episode 1 of the fucking podcast?
Don't know.
That's brilliant, that story.
You know, I've got...
He's got some amount of stories.
That was bro. That night, fucking...
I was expecting the wrestler's court story to be like, so it was like, hang me, so basically I'd murdered this prostitute. And Right. Let's now time for your chance to win a crate of beer 52 in our match of the week. Last week we asked what match did the Radicals interrupt when they debuted in the WWE, and congratulations to Stuart Byrne, who said it was the New Age Outlaws versus Al Snow and Steve Blackman. Road Dog was a prick and cracked Benoit, which sent wee Dean Malenko off with his ill-fitting suit trousers and turtleneck on. Perry Sarton had a belter of a hat on as well.
Oh, I remember his wee hat.
We've got a picture here on the screen for the patrons. Look at
that velvet shirt.
Unbelievable. Look at Eddie Guerrero, man.
He's so young,
isn't
he? Fucking
legend, isn't he?
Oh.
Right now we have more chances for you to win beer. We pick a classic wrestling match to watch, and all you have to do is answer a question on it. Everybody who gets the right answer will go into the draw to win the beer. You can enter by checking out the match and answering the question on the Wrestling Daft Facebook page or replying to the tweet on Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Winners must be over 18 and they must stay in the UK. Right, so what match are we going for?
You're talking about?
What match will we go for? So can we see that match of that low-key match? Is there a way to see it?
It'll be on Impact. Hey, it'll be on YouTube.
Right, I'm picking that one then, because I'm going to watch it. So the match we're going to be going for that you need to watch this time is the match that Grado talked about. It wasn't with Kenny King, by the way, in Loki.
I've just looked up. It was Tigre Uno. So it was me versus Tigre Uno versus Loki.
From what year?
2015.
Have a watch of that. Let us know who wins. And let us know at exactly what time in the match Grado gets eliminated.
Aye.
And you can get free beer for Beer 52 as well, even if you don't watch it. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/wrestling and we can sort out free beers for you. You just need to cover $4.95 for the postage. And as you're a Wrestling Daft listener, we'll give 2 extra free beers on your first box. So that's a total of 10 free beers. It's a monthly subscription service for beer. So just go to beer52.com/wrestling to get your first case of 10 beers for free.
Aye, so we have on the show Sha Samuels. How you doing, Sha?
Are we on? Are we on now?
We're aye, on, man. We're he's on. Back. Oh, you are the first. You are the first. You're the first guy, Sha. The first guest that we've had return.
Aye.
Making history. Well, that's all I do. Make history. And I'm making history for Wrestling Daft right now.
Yep.
2 times. Yeah. 2 times.
Anyway, Sha, you're injured, aren't you? So
yeah, it's the worst thing. I'm trying to be positive. but I'm negative about everything. So wrestling is my job now, technically, right? Inverted commas, it's my job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also my hobby. So imagine being told you can't work and having your hobby taken away from you.
Yeah,
I know.
It's like that guy, you can't work, you can't make money, and you can't play golf anymore, mate. Just you got to stay at home. Pain in the ass. It really is horrible. Mentally more than what the injury actually is, because it's a multitude of things. It's my knee, it's my lower back, it's my left shoulder. Combined, it's called like, because I hurt my head originally and I was seeing doctors. They're sort of like, well, your back, lower back's a bit messed up, because I was getting checked over. And they said, all these injuries, you need to rest up, because if you carry on resting, you're going to ruin your body. So I just went, all right, I'll rest up. They said 6 months minimum. So,
You've never really taken any time off ever, anyway.
No, 18 years non-stop. Mate. All my adult life. 18 years non-stop. First time off. Horrible.
So what is it? I mean, that's why we were thinking, right? What is the life of an injured wrestler like then? I mean, what do you still, are you still watching wrestling, or do you kind of feel like you don't even want to see it?
Bitter more than anything. That's the life of an injured wrestler. You feel bitter. You feel angry that you can't do what you want to do. You also want to stay relevant. So I'm trying to. I'm lucky. I've been quite busy doing non-wrestling roles at shows, commentating. GMs, I've been taking a lot of seminars, I've been a manager, you know, stuff like that. But it's not the same. It's just not the same as being an actual wrestler.
But does it feel quite good? It must feel like you've been able to establish really good relationships with people in the business if they're still wanting to get you involved while you can't work in the conventional manner. Like that must feel nice.
I've been lucky that the boys like up and down the country, like I think a lot of the boys go to bat for me all the time.
Yeah.
So the fact that I'm injured and I've got all these jobs, like this weekend I'm non-stop busy. I've got 4 shows this weekend.
Have you?
Four shows, for an injured wrestler. I've got Friday, 2 on Saturday and 1 on Sunday.
So what are you doing as a special guest referee?
Well, I'm doing a BWR Friday. Right. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's good. I've been doing it.
I'm sure that's drink related. Then I'm doing 2 commentary gigs. I'm doing an all-girls show, commentating that.
What?
And then Rev Pro the evening. And then on the Sunday, it's Rev Pro as well. So
see, this sounds like Grado's dream setup here. He gets to do the shows, doesn't need to actually wrestle.
I know, I can't even love wrestling, man. I can't even wrestling.
I thought it would be good, right? But I was at the show last week. I'm actually pretty bad at commentary. I thought I'd be good. So I did like my first.
Did you get a wake up call with
I wouldn't shut up. I'm talking about myself. I turned into Grado. Talking about myself. Say anything about the show. Just going, I'm amazing. I used to do that. I've done that. I've done this.
Mate, tell me when you.
Someone taps on the hand and says, "Well, shut up. Stop talking about yourself."
I remember you done commentary with Kevin Kelly.
Yes, mate, that was the best. Right?
When was that?
So that was Rev Pro on Free Sports. I don't know if that's still around.
Aye.
And Kevin Kelly Radley was there. And I didn't know anything because there was no run throughs, no rehearsals, nothing. So like, you're in segment 26 with Kevin Kelly. And I'm like, what am I doing? Do some commentary with him. Right? So I get down there, and the microphone is like the old racing horse, you know, commentary.
Yeah,
you know, to the mouth, yeah. So I get down there. Firstly, it's that. I thought it'd be a headset, which was cool. So I look like a Wally, right? Look like calling the horse racing. And I start talking. And he goes, "Hey, shut up. This is just for the house. Shut up."
Tell me you shut up.
I was like, oh, yes. Got schooled by Kevin Kelly. And just grabbed my arm. "Shut up. This is for the house. Shut up." I was embarrassed.
Brilliant. That's fucking brilliant.
But are you sorry, Kevin Kelly? I need to watch you on Friday nights.
Live wire.
Yeah. Mate, yeah, but being out injured is a pain, honestly. You do get... angry and bitter.
You watching WWE?
Yeah, I've been watching. I like the documentaries. A lot of them are coming
out
now. I prefer them than the wrestling, to be honest.
I know, man. When I come in here, that's all I want to talk about is the documentaries that are on the network. They're brilliant.
But Rufus Aggression one.
That was brilliant.
All of them are really good.
Jindrak. Poor Mark Jindrak.
Poor Jindrak. They didn't hold back on that one, did they?
They didn't, man.
No.
They didn't. They sort of pulled the curtain over that, didn't they?
But then, does he not get quite a successful career in Mexico anyway?
Well, he probably did, but
it's not going to be.
It's not what he could have been. Like, imagine what he could have been.
I know.
And then he's like, you're in an evolution with Triple H and Flair. Then called into his own. Now you're a Gavin Cade now, mate.
That's a nightmare,
you know, isn't it? It's a sad one, isn't it? Did you did you watch Super Showdown? You hate these questions.
It was on my birthday.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to say happy birthday, you mate. Sorry.
Like, wrestling's great live and at a decent hour. You know, we watch it 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, get this over with. But it was on at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it.
It's really,
it's actually quite entertaining. It's like,
when it's on at that time, I think it's nice. It's easy to just kind of leave it running. You know, you just have it on and you just, you know, you're just quite happy to.
Makes you feel American.
You're not tired. You can just concentrate on it.
Makes you feel American because that's how they watch it at night. Because remember, like, when Insurrection and Rebellion was on, you watched it at 7 o'clock. It felt weird.
Yeah, it did.
You're like, it's still late outside.
Daylight outside.
Aye, Crash Holly's in the ring and it's late outside. You know what I mean? It's fucking weird.
Crash Holly, Grandmaster, Sex Guy opener.
aye. No, see, a lot of the listeners were complaining this week on our show because Goldberg.
That was
It was brilliant. So was Lesnar and Ricochet.
It's short term. It's clearly short term. They're always angry, fans now. That's why I hate Twitter. They're always angry. All of them.
I know.
Can't please them.
Yeah.
But it's a small minority of the audience. Fuck you, Twitter. That's what I got
to say. Yeah. You sound very much.
It's the worst injured wrestlers like. Fuck you, Twitter. Right? You busy this weekend. What you got?
I've got Target Wrestling in Kalil.
Oh, I can't go wrong with Target.
It's a good crowd, man. The
great people.
Great people.
Right, listen, I hear you guys going like this all the time, right? You kind of go, right, we're going to this place. Oh, it's a great place. It's a great... What is the booking that you get where you go, oh, for fuck's sake, man, it's a fucking shit show down there? I know you don't want to say...
Right, it depends who you're working, right? I don't want to name. Depends who you're working, how much it's for... And just who else is on the show?
Yeah.
See, the reason, Target, right? I don't remember what we're in Target. Target's good. After us. I.e., there's food, drink, Bunsen burner, nice little burner. Mm-hmm. And it's always easy matches, and the crowd are good. And everyone goes home happy and makes money. There's certain shows where you're on with someone that hurts you, that you know they're going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You get treated like shit, the crowd are terrible, and it's just a pain in the arse. It makes you regret. Like, why don't I become a wrestler?
Right, there's some
shows like that.
There's some companies that thankfully they're not about anymore. But they were
it's
in
rare.
The north,
they're
the
rare
north,
now. To be
as, like, it is very like rare. 5-6 years ago, there was companies in the northeast, and I'd just turn up and see the ring and go, that fucking ring isn't safe, man.
Yeah,
and you know, and you know, the promoter's booking himself in a match. He's fucking dressed up as Jeff Hardy, and he's in like a fucking TLC match where he's fucking, you know what I mean? He's wee trainee pal, and they're blading and all that, and there's fucking Wayne's in the crowd.
You know what made it good is, you know, like the way the wrestling is now. It's so professional in this country. Like, everyone's trying to be like WWE. Like, everyone's got backstage, got the headsets on, monitors.
Aye.
Nearly every show is like that now. They're talking to the referees to make sure the boys and girls are okay. So it's really professional up and down the country now.
Aye.
So it is very hard that we go, oh, can't be arsed doing this, because you are looking past pretty much everywhere now.
The shows are 10 times better than what they were. You know what I mean? But you remember when you were about first time SW and all that, it wasn't the best, wasn't it? No,
I mean, it was. No,
it was definitely better now.
Right. It wasn't the best. But do you miss? Do you ever miss that? A wee bit?
Yeah, a good just laugh.
That, do you ever miss that?
Yeah, I mean, I've wrestled in front of 4 people and a dog before, and I had a time of my life. You know, I don't know if I said that. This is 2004. 4 people and a dog. We did a tables match. You know what I mean?
So me and Jester wrestled at Cranhill Park in Glasgow. And, you know, we were told there was to be no bad guys because somebody had been stabbed and they didn't want any baddies.
No baddies?
Aye, it was weird. And then there was an apple tree that had started, the apples had came off the trees.
Aye.
And all the Waynes were just fucking pelting us with apples in the ring. The rain came on, you know what I mean?
I've done an outdoor show at Southampton, a fight. It was a fight. And this one I wrestled in the sheep.
A fate? You mean a fate?
Yeah, it was like a fight.
A fate?
Little thing. It was the worst.
It's not a fate, it's a fate.
As the sheep, I was getting some abuse, you know. You know, that not around that time, doing a chic Middle Eastern gimmick, in certain areas of the country.
I can't believe it.
Terms are thrown around.
I bet you. But that is, it's all kind of cleared up now, isn't it? We've got a kind of good scene now.
It's really, it's the hard work from the boys and girls. Like, there's a core group, I'd say, in this country that we achieved so much from shitty little shows all the way to ITV, now to WWE having a brand here. That's all through the hard work, through the blood, sweat. I don't want to sound cliche, blood, sweat, and tears on the backs of the boys and girls over the last, 20 years?
Aye.
20 odd years from like the from 2000 to now.
Yeah.
The people that work their ass off. And it's. That's why it seems so good.
So if you're when you're no wrestling, if you're no on a show actually wrestling, and what capacity do you prefer being on the show? You say you've done the managing, you've done a wee bit of commentating. What do you like?
Managing. Like, I imagine, like, I did managing ICW at the Square Go.
Right.
So for Jester, and I had such a blast because the crowd were hot, and you're still getting the same reactions. And I could do stuff. Like, I jump on up in the apron. Remember, Grado, we did that spot with Ricky Shane Page, where you and Jess were doing the kendo sticks, and I just got up, went, throw it to me, boom, and hit him.
Aye.
So I was getting, as a manager, and I was stopping Jess from getting thrown out. So I was getting reactions, like, as a wrestler would.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't wrestling. Whereas the commentary, no one knows you're there, you're stuck on a table.
See that?
For fucking 3 hours.
I know. See, that's sometimes I think that's a problem. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff, British wrestling companies, they'll film it for their YouTube show or whatever, and you're thinking, look, there's going to be more people. It's for the crowd. It's, you know, first of all, it needs to be for the people in attendance rather than the
working the cameras for what? A few people to watch on demand?
I know.
Think of the live audience.
Aye. Yeah. So when are you scheduled to come back, Sha?
Well, I'm aiming for May.
Right.
My goal is May, but, you know, it could be June, July. But it'd definitely be by the summer.
Aye.
May is my goal. I'm aiming for May. I think 6th or 8th is your call. Next Ref Pro show, that is my goal, to be on that show.
Aye. So, the Ref Pro shows are good, especially the amount of the Japanese.
The ones, yeah, amazing. I mean, he runs so many shows now. I reckon he's like one of the top promotions.
You would be brilliant in Japan, man.
Shat, are you secretly hoping that the coronavirus shuts down every wrestling show until May and June?
Mate, don't. Exactly. I'm so bitter. I want it to close down. I want everyone to stay home and be like me. I want no one to wrestle, all right?
Yep, everybody isolated until you come back.
Exactly. Well, that's my message. Any wrestler watching this, fuck you for not being injured. You know, fuck you for not being injured. You know, it's like, to be injured is horrible. It's boring.
I know.
You don't stay at home all weekend.
What you should do is you should come back. When you come back, is just try and injure everybody you wrestle.
Batter people like I used to do.
Right, we'll have you wrapping us up, man. I might go home.
Right, cheers, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Right.
See you later. Love you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye now.
Love you. Bye-bye.
So another fantastic match of Wrestling Daft. Match. So another fantastic episode.
Of we Wrestling fucked up, Daft. We fucked up.
Did you, do you have any matches this weekend?
Fuck a day. Where am I going? I think I'm going to Carlisle or some shit.
Well, he checks that. Let me tell you what. I'm doing this weekend. I'm not doing anything.
I'm in Carlisle this week.
Grado's in Carlisle this weekend. I am just getting prepped this weekend. I'm having a weekend of rest, getting ready for Uncle's Live at the Tramway in Glasgow. A week on Friday, three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 600 capacity venue, completely sold out, so don't bother trying to come down again.
Mine's, can I just plug my event? Guerrero's Big Family Wrestling Bash at the Pavilion Saturday, the 14th of March. The balcony is now open, so the place is going to be packed, jam packed. We've got WWE superstars, Noam Dar, and Wolfgang. We've got myself and plenty of other surprises up the sleeve. It's a great afternoon for all the family. Get your bodies down there right now.
And these shows are great. They've had great reviews.
Top
shows.
Oh, really?
No, just for the fucking audience, for the fucking boys and all.
Oh, aye. The Pavilion is a very, very special venue.
Mm-hmm. That is.
No, it really is good. If you've not seen wrestling on a stage, come and see it. I think my shows are a wee bit different. It's a lot more panto. It's a lot more kind of carry on, but it's entertaining.
And of course, remember, the Pavilion is haunted.
Is it?
It's got a ghost. So you might see the ghost of the Pavilion. It's the guy that runs the Pavilion murdered and flung into the Clyde and tied cement blocks around him because he fucked him out on a contract. So it's haunted, so check that out. So thanks for listening to Wrestling Daft.
Listener of the week!
Oh, listener of the week has got to... Oh, fuck, who cares, man? Let's see.
Robbie Carmichael.
Listener of the week... Bobby Carmichael, Jonathan Cheatham.
I just like, we're just saying them because they've got cool names.
I don't want to just get to a patron because that seems like no fair.
What about Graham Curry?
Yeah, let's see who is Graham Curry. What did he say?
He says cliche as fuck, but I just can't see past Jericho's first night on Raw build up for weeks.
I get to him.
get the curry.
I do like a curry.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm invested in Graham.
I do like a curry.
And he's called Graham. I'm called Graham.
Graham Curry, you're listening to the week. Thanks for you're the champ. Congratulations. You can have a JPEG fucking put over your waist. Grado, it's your cell.
Rab Florence, I'm out!
It's your cell!
I'm out!
Audio Frontier.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.